Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off this first, segment here with Fauci, comments about Fauci. And they're being made by Tom Cotton, U.S. Senator from Arkansas, interviewed by Laura Ingraham. And they're very, very strong words about and feelings about what Fauci has done in lying to Congress. So here we go with this, and then we're going to follow that by an interview of Dr. Francis Boyle by Alex, and then that's followed by another interview by Alex of Dr. Richard Fleming, FlemingMethod.com, and it's an awful good site to get information about how these vaccines are interacting in the different countries. But and then we're going to make some closing comments. But that's our program set up so far. Here we go with what Tom Cotton thinks, interviewed by Laura Ingraham about Fauci and his legal liabilities. Here we go now.
Knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Almost as mad at Rand Paul as he was at the games over the weekend. So, in short, look, Rand Paul was right. Fauci did lie to Congress because new documents obtained by The Intercept show that taxpayer money from Fauci's NIID was funneled to the EcoHealth Alliance run by Peter Daszak. And it studied the risk of bat coronavirus emergence in Wuhan. Now, part of the proposal admits how dangerous all of it was, saying fieldwork involves the highest risk of exposure to SARS or other coronaviruses while working in caves with high bat density overhead and the potential for fecal dust to be inhaled. Rutgers molecular biologist Richard Ebright summed it up, saying the materials confirm that the grant supported the construction in Wuhan of novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses that combine a spike gene from one coronavirus with the genetic information from another coronavirus and confirm the resulting viruses could infect human cells. The documents make it clear that assertions by Collins and Fauci that the NIH did not support gain-of-function research or potential pandemic pathogen enhancement at Wuhan are untruthful. That's a mouthful, but we had to say it. Joining me now is Senator Tom Cotton, who was the first politician to raise the lab leak theory over 18 months ago. Senator, your take on these new documents?
Well, Laura, I've said for months that Tony Fauci should be fired. Now it's clear that he lied to Congress, so he should be investigated and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. You know, for 18 months, he's been saddling up his moral high horse and clucking his tongue at college kids who want to go celebrate a football game in an outdoor stadium on a nice fall day, or parents who don't want their kindergartners to have to wear masks their entire lives, telling you have to wear three masks, when all along he's been lying, not just to Congress, but to the American people, about his role in funding the very reckless, dangerous research at a Chinese communist lab that unleashed this pandemic on the world. It is a disgrace, and it's time for Tony Fauci to be held accountable.
If you had to rate this as a scandal, what would you rate it as, Senator?
One of the biggest scandals in Washington in modern times. I mean, it funded a laboratory that in all likelihood is the source of this once-in-a-century pandemic that has upended so many of our lives. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. Many more have been seriously ill. Kids have lost a year, now going on a second year of their education. Weddings have been postponed. Jobs have been lost. Businesses have been closed. And Tony Fauci all along has been lecturing you while hiding the fact that without proper notification to his political superiors in the executive branch, funded this reckless, dangerous research in a Chinese communist lab, and then went to great lengths to try to excuse them. I always wonder why early on in the pandemic, Tony Fauci insisted that there was no way this virus could have come from that lab. It's all just obvious common sense. It broke out just blocks away from the lab where they're studying the coronavirus, where the lady in charge is nicknamed the Bat Lady. Yet he always insisted it couldn't be possible. Well, now we know it was to cover his own tracks. It was to conceal what he had done with your tax dollars in incredibly reckless research in a Chinese communist lab.
What will happen in the Senate next, Senator?
Well, I, for one, am going to be looking forward to Tony Fauci's next appearance in the United States Senate. Now it's no longer just Tony Fauci trying to lecture senators, using word games, acting like they're the dumb ones, like they're the ones who don't understand basic concepts, like making a virus more transmissible. When now it's in his own words, in his own emails, and the emails of all of his cronies who have been on this gravy train for decades, getting your tax dollars and then concealing what it went for. So I, for one, am looking forward to Tony Fauci's next appearance in front of the United States Senate. His appearance after that should be at the federal courthouse down the street.
How much legal jeopardy is he in from 1 to 10, 10 being the most legal jeopardy?
Well, if he were a Trump appointee, Laura, it would be an 11. Let's just say it that way. I mean, he plainly lied to Congress. And it is time for the Department of Justice to investigate Tony Fauci and to hold him accountable to the fullest extent of the law. There is no way you can get around the fact that he has been misleading Congress repeatedly, in addition to misleading the American people for a year and a half while he's presumed to lecture them about all their moral failings and stopping the spread of this virus from a lab that he helped fund.
Senator, thank you. And he told us we couldn't travel this weekend. That would have been a bad idea to travel this weekend. Oh, please.
Boss, he's in big trouble on this. And next we have coming up a great interview of Dr. Francis Paul, who's the author of the 1974 Bioweapons UN Treaty. And he says they're all violating the Nuremberg Code and all the codes and laws enacted, especially some of the laws that he set up. So here we go with Dr. Francis Boyle.
Well, thank you, Alex, for having me on. My best to your listening audience. I was watching the media today, and I did want to address President Biden's address to the nation tomorrow in anticipation of what he's going to say. The reports are he is going to expand his Frankenshot mandate system that clearly violates the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. It's a Nuremberg crime and a Nuremberg crime against humanity. Biden is basically going to be deliberately setting up an apartheid system, and they had passes there, along the lines of the criminal apartheid regime in South Africa, where you have the whites over here and the blacks over there, et cetera. So I did want to say a few words in anticipation.
Yes, sir. So we'll get into we'll get into the Fauci stuff next segment. Absolutely, that's huge news as well. So from your intel, what do you think he's going to announce tomorrow? And obviously, we know the two head scientists over vaccines quit last week in anticipation of what's about to be announced.
Right. Well, we're going to have a third Frankenshot. So if the first two didn't kill you off already, you'll be triple tapped by the third Frankenshot. And then expanding the mandates as far as he possibly can for the under the control of the United States federal government. And also compelling private employers to compel as many people as possible to take these Frankenshots. As I said once before on your program, I was up against, personally, Senator Biden in his capacity as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. My personal dealings with Biden, he is a total totalitarian along the lines of George Orwell and 1984. He has absolutely no respect for the civil rights, civil liberties, and human rights of the American people. And this dealt with the U.S.-UK Supplementary Extradition Treaty of 1986, which he pushed through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. We Irish organized against that treaty. We were supported by the American Civil Liberties Union, because the American Civil Liberties Union and we Irish understood that that treaty was a dire threat to the civil rights, civil liberties, human rights of all Americans. Remember, we fought a revolution against Britain here in this country, and they tried to impose an extradition treaty on us that they could, the Brits could ask for anyone they want and get. So, you know, Francis Boyle's created a lot of problems for us over there on our illegal colonial military occupation of Northern Ireland, so we want them. I won't go through this at length, but I castrated that treaty despite Biden, and he fought for it. He tried to ram this treaty through at the behest of Britain and Maggie Thatcher. I kid you not. So all this talk about him, you know, being an Irishman, you know, he's what we Irish would call, you know, a St. Patrick's Day Irishman. He marches in the parade and that's it. Otherwise, he's a very cunning, deceptive, devious, totalitarian politician behind the scenes. And we were able, you know, to beat out that first treaty. And the only reason Biden supported that first totalitarian treaty was that he was going to run for president in 1988, which he lost, and wanted to make it appear that, well, I'm really tough on terrorism. So what happened is 9/11/2001 came along, and the British figured the climate had changed all over again. So they came back against us a second time with the Maggie Thatcher extradition treaty all over again. And Biden fully supported it. And the American Civil Liberties Union fully supported us Irish in stopping that treaty against what Biden was trying to do. Because the ACLU and we Irish realized this second treaty would be a dire threat to the civil rights and civil liberties and human rights of all Americans and not just the Irish. And basically, we stopped what Biden was trying to do. We fought back and we got basic protections in there in the ratification for that treaty that protected all Americans. And again, Biden supported the second treaty 2006 to support his own presidential election campaign at that time, which he lost. If you're interested, the story on our fight against that second extradition treaty and against Biden, you can find in my book, United Ireland, Human Rights and International Law. For page limitations, I had to delete the battle against the first treaty. But here's a man who sold out his own people, the Irish, to our congenital enemies, the British and Maggie Thatcher, twice over 20 years, and was fully prepared to violate all the civil rights, civil liberties, and human rights of the American people, which is exactly why the American Civil Liberties Union supported us twice in a row. So
and Biden's now the ACLU is supporting forced inoculations. They've been bought out by Soros. Dr. Francis Boyle has been in these fights up against dictators, up against Biden. We can beat him again. We come back. The big announcements Biden is set to make tomorrow and the gain of function Fauci caught red-handed. This is a huge broadcast. Stay with us.
Right, Alex, this is reminiscent of experiments that Dr. Mengele carried on against Jewish children at Auschwitz. You can read about that in the medical doctor's case at Nuremberg that led to the Nuremberg Code on Medical Experimentation. These are Nuremberg crimes against humanity. But before we go on with the discussion, Alex, I wanted to refer back to two points you made before the break. first point, people have to understand you can fight back against Biden. I fought back against him twice. Now, I had the support of every Irish-American organization here in the country, so we have to get organized. And second, the support of the ACLU. But the first time, I beat Biden out, hands down. And the second time, we fought back, we stopped what he was going to do, and we protected the interests of all American people, their civil rights, civil liberties, and human rights. Now, as for the ACLU endorsement of the Frankenshots, you have to look at what happened there. The fellow who wrote that article in the New York Times, David Cole, I know full well, he's a professor of law at Georgetown Law School. Cole is infamous in the legal profession for basically supporting the CIA torture program that was set up by Bush Jr. Yes, I kid you not. Cole argued in the New York Times that it, with respect to the 550-page executive summary put out by an arm of Congress here about this torture scandal, which I read, that the CIA got a bum rap. Well, that was ridiculous. They did not get a bum rap. That was a congressional investigation, 550-page executive summary based on a 6,000-page report that they still won't let us see. Documenting CIA torture, and Cole went out there to run interference for the CIA. I kid you not. So this man is a controlled opposition, and it does appear that as of now, the ACLU has become controlled opposition too. So I just wanted to deal with those two points, Alex, and now I'm happy to go wherever you would like us to go.
Well, this is a shorter segment. Two long segments are coming up, so let's finish up the next 5 minutes with, hey, we actually have the European Union regulators saying don't do booster shots, don't do children. They're being overridden, it looks like. Boris Johnson says he's going to override his government, a cabinet-level group that says don't do it. We've got all the, I mean, like something like a third of the FDA board heads, including the two people over the vaccine programs that are pro-vaccine, by the way, they've left and quit and said this is wrong and evil. That's a pretty big seismic event, and it shows that there's some soul left in the bureaucracy, or maybe they just don't want to go to prison for what they know is coming out. But, I mean, to me, that's a pretty big deal, Dr. Boyle. I don't ever remember seeing regulators across the world standing up and doing the right thing like this.
Well, actually, you can't. I think they might be afraid of going to prison. You can't trust the FDA at all. As we said months ago in that interview I gave you over SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronavirus posed threat for human emergence that developed COVID-19. The FDA is clearly listed. National Center for Toxicological Research, Food and Drug Administration, Jefferson, Arkansas, USA. They are clearly listed as helping to develop this offensive biological warfare weapon with gain-of-function properties in it known as COVID-19 at the UNC BSL-3. So, of course, you can't trust or believe anything the FDA has done.
Well, I totally agree. So why would you have all these insiders breaking with Biden, saying you shouldn't do this, it's political, don't do it, and quitting and leaving? And in Europe, regulators standing up and saying it's time to stop. Is it because they now realize how bad this is?
No, I think they've known it all along. I think they're fearing criminal prosecution and the reaction of the American people when all of the truth comes out, which it is slowly doing thanks to your program going back to the programs going back to February of 2020. The FDA, then, this totally rotten, corrupt, and criminal organization that is well known to be a captive agency in the legal profession under the control of the drug industry, and Monsanto and the Nazis at Bayer and Monsanto, et cetera. They gave their original emergency use authorization to the Frankenshots in violation of the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. They know what the Nuremberg Code is all about. They knew when they gave it they were violating the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. They knew they were committing a Nuremberg crime. They knew they were committing a Nuremberg crime against
humanity. And I know as a prosecutor, you don't go, I mean, you do go to MoDa, but you're always, hey, the crime's there, let's just go, let's go have them arrested. We'll talk about how that happens next segment. But I always go back to psychology, though, because that is important in crimes. Why did they think they'd get away with this? Because I think it's clear that they're starting to not get away with it, the truth's coming out. So I'll ask you the same question I asked you a year ago. What's wrong with these big pharma keeps doing things, keeps putting out blood product, factor eight with HIV in it, knowing it'll kill millions. It's in their minutes. They say, who cares? Keeps doing this craziness over and over again.
Well, it's the arrogance of power and the God complex that, you know, we are God here. We scientists and you out there are the little bitty people. You're the Untermensch, the under people, as the Nazis saw it. And we are the Übermensch, the over people, as the Nazis saw it.
That's exactly what Dr. Zelenko said, and anybody that studies it gets down to that. And then, surprise, surprise, Bill Gates wants to depopulate the world. Dr. Francis Boyle is here with us. We'll show you that book again. It's very historical. I've read it about how he's beaten these bureaucracies before. He also helped, right at the tip of the spear, beat the forced inoculations of experimental anthrax shots at the troops. So this guy knows how to beat him. He's trained at Harvard, the same program that Kissinger was. And so he's going to talk about the blueprint for victory against this nightmare when we come back. Well, we are all certainly riders on the storm. And the question is, how do we end this globalist power grab by the Rockefeller Foundation and by Kissinger and by Bill Gates admitting they're going to use a virus to take control and now doing it, and martial law around the world and what's coming here and tightening down the noose on us tomorrow with this big announcement? You can go to Amazon and many other places and find the many great books written by Dr. Francis Boyle. Just search his name. You can pull those up. Biowarfare and Terrorism is a definitive book on that as well. United Ireland, Human Rights, International Law, and, of course, several others there that you can find. Now, sir, we've only got 27 minutes left. I want to shut up these two long segments and just get into how big it is, what's coming out. I don't want to take credit. I don't want you to take credit. But the truth is you first broke the gain of function, the documents that were already there. Now new documents out of The Intercept. Now video surfacing of him at conferences with doomsday viruses he was making and gain of function. And just the crimes of this out in the open and in the new documents that came out yesterday through the four-year lawsuit of The Intercept. I know you know about this for listeners joining us. He says combine these five viruses with the SARS virus. He describes COVID-19, and we have Peter Daszak on video admitting it. So we have open and shut the man running the response to it is the man behind it. So get into the current developments and under the law, how we move against this monster, because this is just insane to see him sit up there when he has been caught red-handed.
Box, just before we get to that, I wanted to finish the point of the last segment, and specifically with respect to the members of U.S. Armed Forces. It was the FDA back in 1990 that authorized the emergency use of the two Gulf War Frankenshots at that time, which I opposed and tried to stop, that led to the Gulf War sickness. So the FDA is fully responsible for what happened to U.S. troops back starting in 1990. The Pentagon still lies about the statistics because they know they committed a Nuremberg crime and a Nuremberg crime against humanity, against our own troops. Out of 500,000 inoculated, 11,000 were killed, 100,000 were disabled, and maybe one-third adverse events. The Gulf War sickness also infected healthcare workers and members of the immediate family. Okay, the FDA did that. They are a rotten, corrupt, criminal organization that should be completely put out of business. And now, because of this new FDA so-called final approval, Biden and Secretary Austin has ordered all U.S. military forces to take these new Franken shots that are probably going to even be far worse in the consequences.
And so you're an expert lawyer on these areas, so let's talk about this. But I've had doctors on and others, and we've gone over with lawyers. They've said it's 100% clear. This is a new, made-up no-man's land where it's another emergency authorization. They had a meeting and decided to call it final approval, but said in 2025 we might actually approve it. So another hoax, another lie, another giant fraud saying that this is an approved vaccine.
And perpetrated by Biden and Secretary of Defense Austin and the FDA. The FDA are total liars, as is the CDC and the WHO. You can't believe anything they are telling. Yeah, there's Austin right there. He's Biden's man. He's forcing U.S. Armed Forces to take these Franken shots, knowing full well what happened to them with the Gulf War sickness and the healthcare workers that treated them, that indicated a biological warfare weapon at work, and their family members who also came down with the Gulf War sickness. I still hear from veterans suffering from the Gulf War sickness today asking me my advice, what they can do. You can imagine, only imagine, what is going to happen when our current military personnel have to take this new round of Franken shots.
I totally agree. But, sir, please, just on the giant subject, your total vindication, you were the first to come out with it with all the documents, the details. You already had the information in February of last year. Now it's all confirmed with these new documents, 900 pages, video servicing, and Fauci admitting it. I've never seen such an open and shut case, or am I wrong?
Alex, now we can get into how the American people can fight back. Yes. I wanted to say all that just as background to this catastrophic existential situation we are facing as Americans, including the members of our U.S. Armed Forces. Yes, as I said in our last interview, we are dealing here with murder and conspiracy to commit murder, two causes of action. One for the COVID pandemic, and the second for the Franken shots. So let me go through both causes of action here. As for the COVID pandemic, murder is defined as the unlawful killing of human beings with malice aforethought. All right, unlawful. I was hired here to teach criminal law, so fine. Unlawful, there we have their gross, Fauci, Collins, Menachery, everyone, the Bat Queen, this person from the Harvard Medical School, which is why you can't believe Walensky there from the CDC. She's from the Harvard Medical School. Everyone on that SARS-like cluster of Barrick, everyone on that contract that we discussed before, it is violating the My Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. So we have unlawful killing of human beings, probably right now over a million American excess deaths. And again, they're lying about the true fatalities here, but excess deaths, probably over a million. With malice aforethought, a term of art. So one of the elements of malice aforethought is manifesting grave indifference to human life. And we have seen with all the documents that have come out, including those you've recently discussed now, that Fauci, Collins, Menachery, this FDA person, the Harvard Medical School person, the Bat Queen, went ahead and did this extremely dangerous biological warfare weapons work.
Dr. Francis Boyle is truly a treasure for this country. He stands up and he talks and says it like it is. So I want to applaud him for all his fine work and his testimony. you know, to the public, to tell them and bring them the real truth about this pandemic. And next we have an interview, Dr. Richard Fleming, and Alex does that again. And Richard Fleming brings us really insightful information, especially about the graphene oxide. I've never heard exactly how that interacts. And he also tells us that the vaccines are driving the variants. So, and he has a site, Fleming, thefleminghmethod.com. And go in there and research his charts and so forth. It's an excellent site. So here we go with Dr. Richard Fleming.
Well, he's an amazing guy. He's a cardiologist. He also is a nuclear cardiologist. He's a lawyer. He's got a bunch of patents on that. FlemingMethod.com. And he's here with us until the end of the hour. I really appreciate him coming on. And he was just getting into the fact that these mRNA systems have been around for over a decade. No one in the world ever approved them because you had so many people having problems with them. And look at this headline today. The CDC suddenly changes the definition of vaccine and vaccination. They have been kicking even New York Times journalists and people off of Twitter who come out and say, this isn't a vaccine, this is a gene therapy. You got to have it all the time. And then here's the actual CDC document. Immunization, the basics. Vaccination, the act of introducing vaccine to the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. Now they say it doesn't give you immunity, it just lessens it, which it turns out is not true. Vaccination, the act of introducing vaccine in the body to produce protection from a specific disease. So they've changed it. They're playing God. So, Dr. Fleming, you got caught up on the break getting into the fact that they rolled out this mRNA through this emergency. Now they say a month ago, oh, it's approved now. But then it turns out it wasn't approved. It was just them saying it's approved. They said in 2025, maybe it'll be approved officially then, but they used that fraud to then say they're coming after all the federal workers today. Biden's going to set to announce reportedly that they've got to have the shot for their job, even if they have a health problem or have natural immunity. So please continue where you left off.
Well, you know, as far as the federal government doing something like that, there was a Supreme Court case out of Missouri several years ago where the Supreme Court ruled that an American could not be legally forced to take a treatment, that it was unconstitutional. So this is nothing more than another example of people overstepping their authority and deciding that they're going to make decisions that are way above their pay grade or IQ grade. You know, the facts, the data, the research speaks to whether these people have a thorough understanding of what they're actually doing. The mRNA vaccines themselves, in 2017, Moderna, no less, which is one of the vaccines now that we're talking about, the drug vaccine biologics, Moderna published a paper on lipid nanoparticle, that's the same type of technology, influenza vaccines. And what they discovered in that paper in 2017 was that the lipid nanoparticles did not stay at the site of the injection. They spread to the brain, the heart, the liver, the spleen, the bone marrow, every body organ that there was. In fact, the data shows that within a matter of 2 to 5 hours, once this injection is given, these lipid nanoparticles spread around the body and can be found for several days. And what the problem here with using this technology, above and beyond the fact that the EUA documents show that they don't work, is that when your immune system works to be fully operational, your body has to see the virus actually coming into it so that certain types of cells in the first part of your immune system can attack it, eat the virus, tear it apart, and expose it to the surface so that other cells in your immune system say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to be in our body. We need an immune to that. Now, that part is called the innate, I-N-N-A-T-E, and it occurs in 3 to 5 days. And it is critical. It is the foundation of our immune system. So with the lipid nanoparticles of Pfizer and Moderna, they're circumventing that by sticking genetic code. That's a human genetic code, by the way, because we know this gain of function research is human. It's not natural. And then it goes straight into the cells that it infects.
So by the way, let me just stop you. They said it only stayed local and didn't leach, but I can pull up hundreds of prestigious reports where they have all sorts of drugs and treatments that use nanoparticles or lipid particles to go through the blood-brain barrier. So, again, sir, they had to know what they're doing. I know you don't want to speculate, but, my God, the timing of the leak, the cover-up, the power grab, I mean, and the fact that that you and others warned it would cause all these problems, and now it's done it, and now they're just demanding more power, this whole thing looks extremely premeditated to me.
Yeah, you know, and the two problems with this spike protein, when everybody gets down to the spike protein, rather than chasing tails again, I think what the federal government does is it plays squirrel game. And I don't know if that makes sense to you, but, you know, you see the dogs and you say squirrel. And what's the dog do? It stops. It goes after the squirrel. So every time you see a distraction, this is the government saying squirrel, and the general public darts off to something else. Graphene oxide is a classic example of misinformation that's out there on these vaccines. So let me walk you and your viewers through this. Graphene oxide has been in vaccines for years. This is not new. Silverware hasn't been sticking to people for years. So this is not the cause of whatever people think that they're seeing. What we have on the website, and again, I would encourage people to go there because it's a wealth of information, is information that shows that graphene oxide prevents the spike protein from attaching to your cells. And that should raise a fundamental question. Why would you want to do that? What would be the benefit? Well, there's two things that this spike protein and this virus do. They cause an inflammation and blood clotting, or what I called inflammothrombotic response in 1994. That's when I brought this whole theory out to the American Heart Association. It got presented the following year at American Heart. It got published in a cardiology textbook in 99. We did the bacterial studies from 2000, 2003. And then I talked about it on 2020 in 2004. So I kind of thought that everybody had heard about it, but they never applied this. And beyond the inflammothrombotic response is something very, very critical, which Kevin W. McCarron had talked about out of Japan. He's probably one of the best neurobiologists, animal researchers on the planet. He's in Japan right now. He's from the UK. And he saw the neurologic damage. And there's plenty of studies that have been shown that when this spike protein crosses the blood-brain barrier, it causes what's called prion diseases, or diseases where proteins get malfolded. And one of those is Alzheimer's. Mad cow disease is another one. And the animal models show that the animals are experiencing
Yes, sir.
This.
So what's really happening? What are you saying?
By having graphene oxide in the vaccines and preventing the spike protein from attaching to cells, it makes the spike protein available to go across the blood-brain barrier to cause the prion diseases.
Absolutely. So it's exactly protecting the spike protein to get in the brain, and that's clearly then deliberate.
Well, again, I'm not in their minds. I can't speak to the intention of somebody else doing it, but it's clearly documented that this is the consequence.
Elaborate on that, because I've seen the studies on that, and I'm glad you're because you're a doctor and a scientist and an expert, I guess, in tracking things in the body with a particular degree. Is there any other reason they'd put the graphene oxide in there other than using it to get things across the blood-brain barrier, which, again, is a prion to cause the neurological disorders?
Well, I'd like to ask a different question. If it wasn't what you wanted to happen and you knew it was happening, and you knew it was that detrimental, wouldn't you do something about it?
Absolutely. What do you make of...
So the fact that they're not correcting the problem says, we're good. Right?
What do you make of what's happening with the Moderna shot? From all your research, which vaccine is the most dangerous?
Oh, that's a question. All of them. There isn't a safe vaccine out there. None of these vaccines have been proven to be safe or effective. The EUA documents show that they do not cut down the number of COVID cases. They do not cut down the number of deaths. The EUA documents show that themselves. They're filled, all of them, with different adverse effects. The real problem, in addition to the fact that they're not useful, they're not helping anybody, and they're causing harm to thousands and millions of people for some of the adverse events, is that they're putting pressure selection on the variants to drive the changes that we're now And if you have a question about who's the problem right now, it's not the unvaccinated, it's the vaccinated that have been driving the variants the direction that they're going.
And that's the big thing you wanted to get to. We'll cover that on the other side. Stay with us. Well, time flies when you're learning critical things about your survival and the freedom and future of humanity. Dr. Richard Fleming is our guest. FlemingMethod.com, very prestigious guys, been all over international news, you know, author, researcher, patents, and he's laying out science here. And now we see all these regulators quitting. We see all this incredible stuff coming out. We see the EU scientists, the UK, the head of the UN says don't do booster shots. So it looks like they're scared of something, like Fauci might be going too far, but everybody says Fauci is in charge. I want to get into the Delta variant with you, doctor. I want to get into the mutations, other doctors I've had on, the evidence that it came from India, you know, how a vaccine knocks out the weak variants, makes the strong go forward. I want you to explain it, people, the 10 minutes we have. But I wanted to ask you about this. These graphs we see from the CDC, from Israel, from the UN, from Johns Hopkins, they all show the same thing. Huge record deaths per capita in Israel, hospitalizations, and it follows when they're given the injections. You look at Palestine right next door, it's not even one-tenth of the same numbers. Same thing goes for Sweden. Same thing country after country. The more shots they take, the more they say they have COVID. I mean, this should end the whole fiasco right now, like Sweden and some other countries have done. What do these graphs mean? Same graphs with in other heavily injected areas like Singapore, Gibraltar, as you know. What does this signify?
Right. So what it signifies is a dismal failure of the vaccines. It shows that they do not work. In fact, it shows that they are producing more of a problem. On FlemingMethod.com, if you go to the first tab, which is COVID/heart/cancer, and you drop down one, you'll see International Criminal Court. The second one is vaccine chasing. And on that, I show you exactly how the EUA documents prove that there's no benefit. Yep. If you slide down on Pfizer, you'll see the results of Pfizer, which shows no benefit to the Pfizer vaccine. In the graphic, the EUA shows, if you keep scrolling down there, that there's no benefit. In fact, the absolute risk reduction is 0.88% between the vaccine and no vaccine. But there's a lot of side effects. Moderna has the same sequence, and you can slide down through that.
Wow, I've been on your site, but on this, this is incredible information.
If you go down to the next one, you'll see Janssen. Janssen reported on its shots. It reported at 2 weeks that there was statistical difference, but 2 weeks later, if you drop down to the next one, that benefit was completely lost. So you get all of that data, and then you can keep scrolling down because I want your viewers to see it. Then we look at the mass vaccination pressure. What you're going to see are 33 countries here graphically show up. This is from published data. You'll see all these countries, and you will see the color codes of the actual viruses, the variants, and each time when either the Pfizer or Moderna or Janssen or AstraZeneca or Covaxin or the CanSino or the Gamalea or the Sinovac vaccines were used, and in no instance in 33 countries was there reduction in the number of cases. In fact, what you saw was a continued escalation, and you saw pressure selection where they were pushing the variants. And if you continue down along that, you're going to see the Israeli data where the Israelis went at full-blown effort to try to bring this under control. And you can look, there's Ireland and Mexico. Look at the vaccines that they're using. Mexico used all eight of them, and you can see, and green is the Delta variant for codes. You can see exactly what happened every country. It
but, sir, you predicted this over a year ago. Everybody, all these other scientists did.
I did.
So don't tell me that the UN and all these people didn't know what they were doing. It looks like they're trying to create a Merrick-type disease in humans. And it looks like if they keep trying to now have a vaccine for the Delta, will that make something even more deadly? And how long until it produces the super virus that they're finally looking for to depopulate us?
Well, here's several components to think about. First off, the question is what's actually in the drug vaccines. And back in March, I pointed out that the vaccines that were used, if they only put the spike protein part of the genetic code in there, that was insufficient to get the type of immune response that has happened. And that means that they have to have something else in the vaccines that they're not telling us about. And when I showed people and talked to people back in March and gave presentations, I pointed out something called self-amplifying mRNAs, where they include other parts of that genetic material to amp up the response. And then I showed that the animal model in which they were testing SARS, which is the virus, for self-amplifying mRNA wasn't dog, wasn't cat, wasn't horse, wasn't mouse. It's human. It's published on the website. Human is the animal model being used.
And so that's why they skipped the trials, because they were doing it right on us, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the very cute comments that somebody posted once, and they posted out another video, is the slide that I have of two rats looking at each other, and one rat saying, are you going to get the vaccine? And the second rat looks at the first and says, they haven't finished the human trials yet. And that's really where we're at with everything flipped on its head. They're doing human experimentation. So you're either part of the experimental group or you're part of the control group one way or the other, but you're one of the two groups.
And well, doctor, this is incredible. I've seen hundreds of clips of you, seen several interviews that have been watching you over a year. I know you're in Texas. Where are you in Texas?
Dallas.
Well, I would love to pay for a hotel or fly you down here, your gas to come down here. I'd love to do a commercial-free podcast. Our podcasts get 2 or 3 million views. This show has millions of viewers as well. It's a big syndicated radio TV show, but it has breaks. I would love to have you come down here and load all this on our computer and then do a slideshow or even a presentation because, man, your site is incredible how you've put it all together. It is invaluable, FlemingMethod.com. I hadn't clicked on that tab of vaccine chasing, and the way you put all those graphs together, every radio listener, everyone needs to go to FlemingMethod.com, and you need to go to that vaccine chasing area and look at those graphs from the UN and the country's own numbers. It is just devastating. I mean, how the hell would anybody keep taking more shots when it shows it makes record death and record illness? And so what do you expect them to do next? Just keep doubling down with the lie? And then specifically, I know you're already getting there, but get to your point on the Delta variant.
Well, they're going to keep doubling down as long as people allow them to double down. And the reality is that the only thing that's happen that's going to make a difference in that is for people to stand up and take responsibility. I work with doctors all over the world. We are research that, but I have people all over the world, and they come back to me with one very specific question. What are the Americans going to do about this? Because they're looking at U.S. citizens to make determinations about what needs to be done, and we need our elected officials that we put in there, Senator Rand Paul, and the other elected officials that are here in Texas, to stand up for the citizens of this country and say enough is enough is enough. You can't, by executive order, mandate this vaccine. And you've got Anthony Fauci telling people that our personal freedoms are less important than his vaccination program that's being rolled out. He did not trump the U.S. Constitution. The current president does not trump the U.S. Constitution. The way this is done under the Constitution of the United States is that the elected officials in the legislative body, Congress, has to pass laws and legislation that then is either approved by the executive branch or rejected, and they go back and they vote on it to make it a law.
That's right. That's what the FDA head scientist said over vaccines. They said, you're just even bypassing the FDA. You just can't have Biden be America's doctor and do all this. Please come down to Austin next week or whenever you can, doctor, or please come back on our other shows. I want to go over all your graphs. In a minute we've got left, though, anything else on the Delta variant? We see the graphs. It's clear. All over the world, it's made the Delta variant take over. The vaccines have done that.
They've done a great job of putting the pressure. So this is like antibiotic-resistant bacteria. When you indiscriminately use antibiotics, you breed out the bacteria that can survive. And so what the Delta variant is nothing more than a variant that has changed enough that its spike protein is dissimilar enough to the original HU1 that the immune response does nothing. So our body doesn't recognize it as the SARS virus. It recognizes it as it's something else. Why? Because instead of doing what we've always done, take all the variants and weaken them and inject them into somebody for a vaccine, somebody decided to take just the genetic code that they wanted to play with for a spike protein and see what that would do. And congratulations. It was a dismal failure. It proved evolutionary theory on the way that things survive, survival of the fittest. This is when you go out there and you attack. And by the way that you deal with antibiotic resistance is you quit overusing the antibiotics. You stop and you pull it back and make an intelligent decision.
Hold on, Doc. We got a 2-minute break. We do 5 more minutes with us. I want to be able to put bookends on this.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how much you can convince people and gaslight them and get them to not communicate with each other. And when you do that, you have an ideal setup for the ability to manipulate people and get them to do whatever you want. And it's pretty clear that a lot of people got very concerned, very stressed, and they got vaccinated because they were concerned about family members. They didn't want to make somebody else sick that they loved and cared about. And that type of manipulative type of a I think is part of the most disgusting part of this, which is the manipulation of not only Americans, but people around the world to sell them on the concept that if they didn't get vaccinated, they were putting somebody that they love, their life at risk. Vaccines have never prevented people from getting infected, and they have never prevented people from spreading infection. That's not how it works. And anybody who remembers or has studied that and has that basic understanding realizes that it's designed to expose you to what you're going to see so that when you become infected or sick, you recover faster. But we've always done it intelligently. We've always taken all the variants and all the different types and all the parts so that once we injected that into you, your body had a fighting chance to everything, so that no matter what variant came into you or what part of a variant came into you, you had an immune response. What they have demonstrated very clearly is that if you select out just a part of it, you can force the virus into the direction that this virus has been forced into, which is the further it is from what you started with, the more likely it's going to survive. With antibiotic resistant bacteria, you don't keep hitting people with antibiotics, you'll kill the patient. What you do is you stop doing what's causing the problem. This hasn't changed in medicine. It doesn't change in science. It doesn't change in anything. You know, if you run through a red light and you hit people, the next time you come to a red light, you don't say, I think I'll run the red light. You kind of go, well, I think I'm supposed to stop. That's how we don't heating and ending up with the same bad outcomes. This is repeating the same bad behavior, expecting somehow to have a different outcome. And like Einstein and so many other people have said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Unless your insanity is being a mass murderer and you're like Bill Gates and wants to remove people's immune systems before you release something later.
If that's your intention, then you're certainly going down the right track. But let me make one comment. Anthony Fauci does not represent science. I find it offensive that he represents himself as science. He has prostituted science, and he's become a major pimp for anti-science. Science is done by people who are methodical and are looking at the outcomes, and when the outcomes are bad, they say it's time to stop this bad behavior. The drug research project known as these vaccines have demonstrated a dismal failure, and an intelligent scientist would pull it back and say, stop what we're doing. Let's figure out.
Well, even the main UK's advisory group said yellow card it and pull it a month ago. Sir, thank you so much.
This pandemic has been planned out, and it's taking down the country, much less the world. So we've got to resist it. We've got to stand up against it. But this morning, there were memorial services in New York and the Pentagon, Washington, D.C., and in Shanksville. And I believe President Biden went to all three. I was watching many of the ceremonies this morning, and it was very sad as to what did happen on 9/11. We still don't have a full rendering by the government of what did occur. And some of the closing comments that I want to make are these. First, starting with the liability of Fauci, he has real liabilities. But I don't think the Justice Department is going to do anything about it under Biden. Now, the next thing is that today was the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attack on our towers and our country in New York in the Pentagon. And then there was the Shanksville shoot down or crash of that plane. But many of these, especially the Pentagon, our second hour tonight will be with Dave Von Kleist. And he did a special documentary along with George Riley, his wife at the time, called In Plain Sight. And they postulated about there not being a plane that crashed into the Pentagon. And so we'll have that later. But today, the 9/11 has been functioning much like the Pearl Harbor. It had a Pearl Harbor effect, as someone as others have been describing it, to where they could kowtow people, the American public, into doing what they want. And from Pearl Harbor came a great response of the American people to go to war with the Japanese and, of course, the Nazis, the Germans. And that motivated many people to go down. And I had friends that have since passed away that went down and stood in line in San Antonio, Texas, and volunteered to do their part to fight this Nazi and this Japanese menace. So it acted in that way to motivate people to patriotic, good Americans to stand up and fight for this country and defend this country. And eventually that resulted in World War II victory over these enemies. So that was great. Now, we fast forward to 9/11. There were many questions, unanswered questions about the New York attack. Then there are other questions that are really glaring about the Pentagon and what did really strike the Pentagon. They have these five clips, photographic clips of something coming in that's very low in there that would not have been the size of any 757. But all of the authorities, and this is where this gets into really, really, really evil acts. All these so-called authorities are maintaining that this plane, this American Airlines Flight 77, hit the Pentagon and took out not only all the people on the plane, but it killed those people that were in the Pentagon also. And they built a memorial out there, right there where that attack occurred, and they used park benches to immortalize all of the victims of this attack. So this is being carried out almost on a mythological level now to the American public. And many of the people that are watching these festivities, these memorial ceremonies, weren't even born, and they weren't even alive 20 years ago, our younger people. But all of these authorities, the top generals and the top admirals and all these other people are falling in line to maintaining the storyline, and I call it a mythology, of it, a 9/11 myth about what really happened on that dreadful day. So we've got to get down to the real truth about this and stand up and say it like it is. And Dave Von Kleist, along with George Riley, did do a documentary and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that something else occurred and did strike the Pentagon, but not necessarily that 757, but something did occur there, resulted in many deaths, and so that's a tribute to Dave Von Kleist and George Riley. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and good God bless each and every one of you, and let's try to keep this country solid again and truthful. Thank you.